some of our people. So we just shared our reading from Gospel of John, chapter 9, verses 1 through 41, for any of you if you want to go back and refer to that text. So in this passage, we hear that the man who'd been blind, after Jesus had restored him, he believed, he trusted God. And I don't know about you all, but so often when things are going good, when I can see God working in my life, it's easy for me to believe. Or, in other words, we can say it's easy to trust God when I see God working. But what happens when we don't see God working? Or let's go back and consider the man who'd been born blind. Can't you imagine with me that there were times in his life, in his darkness, in his peril, that it was hard to believe? When we too live in our own darkness, it may not be a physical blindness, but it may be loss of work, family tragedy or trials that we face, isolation like we're going through now in our world, in our community, and from our churches. When darkness engulfs us as it had the man who was born blind, sometimes, I don't know about you all, but for me, it's hard to believe. It's hard to trust. It's hard for me to embrace that spirit that the blind man had when Jesus restored him. He said, "Oh yes, I believe. Just tell me what to believe. I see you working, God. I know you're real." You see, our faith is fresh when we see God working. But what about when we don't see God so present in our specific lives and in the lives of the world around us? So that's what we're facing today, right? For many in the church, and certainly those outside of the church, we are in a time of darkness, a time of fear. Did you notice when I told you in our text today from the Gospel of John, I said, listen closely. When the man's parents were called, the scripture said that they were fearful. They were fearful for the Jews. The leadership were threatening to put them out of the synagogue if any followed Jesus. You see, it was their fear that crippled them for putting their trust in God, for saying what they knew was true, even of the faith and the restoration their son had seen. Well, you know, during this time that we all are facing challenges from the coronavirus, frustrations emotionally from physical isolation from our family, this is a fearful time. Let's be honest. You know, my niece Montana and Grant that I spoke of earlier, they're about to have a baby. Can you imagine giving new life in this challenging time of questions of health? Right now, so many of us are facing the illness at home. We have church members whose loved ones have been diagnosed recently and they're in isolation. So this is a very fearful time in our community and world. And the challenge, I think, for us as people of faith is to respond like the man who had his sight restored and not in the fear that crippled his parents from responding in faith and living out their faith. So the thing I'd like for us to reflect on today, what is some guidance for us as the church? What's some guidance for us in Scripture to respond to this plague that's facing our world, this pandemic, with light and love, and not allow it to cripple our faith as we represent Christ in our world in need? You know, I go back as I was reflecting this morning to one of the most familiar passages of our faith. If I were to ask all of you who are watching today, what's one of the most familiar or popular scriptures of all time, I suspect that a majority of you might say Psalm 23. That's a familiar passage to many of us, correct? And I don't know about you all, but sometimes the familiar texts, those that we know by heart, sometimes we can overlook maybe portions of it or deeper meanings that we've overlooked throughout our life. In a portion of that scripture, the psalmist says, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. We know that passage by heart. But have you ever focused on the fact that the psalmist says, I will not fear? And not only, I had a little blurb there. I think it said it reconnected. So hopefully I'm back on. Am I on, everybody? You hearing me? So even as the psalmist said, he walked through the valley of the shadow of death. Have you ever considered those words? You all know, like I do, that a shadow is the deepest, darkest part of us. If I have a shadow from my person, my body, then that's the darkness of it. But not only is the shadow a dark place, but the shadow is close to us. Have you ever been playing in a sports game where you heard a coach maybe tell another competitor, say, I want you to shadow that person? That means I want you to stay right with them. Well, let's consider that analogy and reflect it to the words of the psalmist today, who said, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, that's the darkest portion of death. My life is in peril, the psalmist is saying. Not only is it dark and my future unknown, but it's right up against me. It's as close as my shadow is to me. I don't know if I can make it through this trial. That's where the psalmist is today. And friends, as we said earlier, that's where many of us are. Whether it's our family that's facing illness as a result of the virus, or it's the isolation that's impacting us all emotionally, and yes, spiritually, we feel that this is a dark time. So let's embrace some words of hope from the psalmist that reminds us where God is when we can't see as God is, can't see God as present as when things are going our way. The psalmist says this, I will not fear, and here's why. Because God is our shepherd, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Now, what does that mean? If we think about shepherding sheep, the rod is the portion of the defense mechanism that the shepherd had for the sheep. In other words, the shepherd used the rods to fight off the wolves, those who might attack the sheep. Friends, may we know in this time of peril and isolation, of fear in our community, in our church, in our world, that God indeed is protecting us. The rod that guided the sheep through the shepherd of the good of the goodness of our Lord's grace through Psalm 23, God protects us and is with us. Not only that, the shepherd used the rod and the staff. The staff guided the sheep. You know, our passage tells us, if we will trust in the Lord, if we'll pray daily for God's strength and guidance as a family, to make decisions that benefit our loved ones, our community, our church, then God will indeed lead us in the right path as the psalmist. So here's my hope for us, that friends, as we're going through this darkness, and we, like the blind man, have times where when we're in the darkness, it's hard for us to trust the Lord. I'm going to encourage us to do this, church. May we, as we are in the darkness of fear, like the blind man's parents, as we are in the darkness not knowing of where to turn, may we look at two specific points in our life. May we look back in our faith, and may we look forward. Now, here's what I mean. Right now, as we're facing a faith trial, a trial with a pandemic in our world, may we look back and remember what God has done for us in the past. You see, the psalmist, as he considered that God had a rod and staff to protect him and guide him, he knew that because God had been faithful in the past. That beautiful passage reminds us that God led me in right paths for his name's sake. So for all of us who are under attack right now, emotionally, spiritually, our faith is waning, may we remember the times that God has led us in the right path. Each of us have our own specific journeys where God sustained us, when God was so real. It was that imagery of the tracks in the sand that many of us know. Someone reminded me of that this week. A man 65 years old that I baptized recently in his faith. He said, you know, that is so true. Because as I look back in my life and I saw those one tracks of sand, those are the times at first I thought God had forsaken me. But as I dug deeper in my faith, I realized those are the times that God had carried me. So friends, may we look back and remember, even in the midst of these trials, the times when God has sustained us and carried us. But may we also look forward. Not only look back, but remember these words of the psalmist too, when he says, hear this with me, the end of Psalm 23, the psalmist says, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The psalmist there is talking to us of a future hope we have in God. Friends, as people of faith who've experienced God's grace in us and our lives in the past, we know that we have an eternal hope that God will set us free from whatever we face and everything we face in the glory of God's future reign with all of those who've loved us and been loved by our Lord. That's the hope we have, that this will not last. So we have a sure and certain hope as people of faith that God has sustained us in the past and God will sustain us in the future. May we look to both of those. You know, when you think of those words, the psalmist, when he said, surely goodness and mercy will follow me. You know, I think the psalmist is being very real there too. Because like I shared with you earlier, the man who'd been born blind had times where it was hard to see God working. Well, you know, if you think of someone following you, when Monya and I make a road trip, and we make a lot of them, we drive separately a lot to church, a lot to sporting events. When we're driving, just about every time that we get in the car to come home, one of the last things she says is, are you going to follow me? And the answer, of course, as a good, smart husband, is yes, ma'am, I'm going to follow you. She feels safer with me behind her than in front of her, because if I were in front, I could still watch for her. I could still look behind me, but it's harder for me to follow. But in our passage of Scripture, the psalmist says God follows us through goodness and mercy. Friends, may we never forget that. God's goodness in the midst of this bad that we're facing, God's mercy is following after each of us. I believe that with every fiber in my body. Now here's the part, the decision we have to make as people of faith. What are we going to search for? How are we going to live in the midst of this isolation, in the midst of these great trials that we face? You know, I didn't read the first portion of the chapter of John today, but here's how it began. Jesus said this in chapter 9, verse 4. He said, we must work the works of him who sent me while it was day, for night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Church, here's the choice for us in this time of darkness. You know, it would be easy for us to say, for the naysayers and even the naysayer in us to say, you know, this is the time of darkness Jesus was talking about. The light has gone out in the world. We can't do God's work anymore. But I don't know about you all. I'm hard-headed enough to believe that more than saying the darkness has overcome, this is an inspiration for us as people of faith to be Christ's light in our world. I was reflecting recently on a story that was told by world-known storyteller Donald Davis. And he shared, Donald did, as he had once been a pastor in the United Methodist Church for 25 years, how when he went to a family and visited with them after he'd moved to a new community, he grew very close to the mother and her two adult sons. And he found out that after visiting with them and getting to know them over the months and years, that early before, just before he'd moved there, early in the child's lives, that the father of the family, who'd been plagued with alcoholism and addictions, committed suicide and left the family alone to try to make it in the darkness of the world. And as Donald heard this story that Miss Wheeler and her son shared, he asked her, he said, "Miss Wheeler, I just don't understand. How did you make it through the darkness?" She said, "Donald, it all happened in one day." He said, "I've got to hear this story." And she said, "One day I took out a little piece of paper, not very much unlike this, and I wrote on that piece of paper four pairs of words for each of us as a family. And those words I wrote were this: happy or sad, sick or well, rich or poor, live or die." She said, "How did we make it through that darkness in our life?" She said, "We as a family learned that day we had to learn how to vote." So every morning we would pull out of that piece of paper and we would go through that list of those four pairs of words. And as people of faith, we would vote, what's today going to be? Are we going to be happy or sad in our Lord? Is sickness going to cripple us, or are we going to choose health even in our separation? Are we going to be rich or poor, even in our joy? And ultimately, are we going to live or die? Friends, it's time for us as the church, when this world is so in need and crippled by darkness, to let our light shine, to remember the times when God has been faithful for us in our journey, and that know that God will see us through until this virus is conquered and every peril that we face. Last evening, I want to end you with this. My friend Olin McBride, who is the pastor of First Presbyterian Church in Tupelo, he sent a little email, and he said this to many of his friends who were listening there. He said, "Beginning today, every day at 3:15 in the afternoon, we're going to ring our church bells 18 times. He said, "The first three times we ring it is for the month of March, represented by three. And the next 15 times we ring it was for that date in March, March 15th. He said, "This is the day that many of us chose to go to live streaming in worship in response to the physical distancing commissioned in our world." But he said, "As we ring those church bells every day until we're reunited in our worship communities again, we're going to be saying to the world, the church is not closed. And I say to you, people of faith, may we say to the world, not only in this time of darkness and sickness is the church not closed, but the church is not even a building. The church is a people of love, a people who live in this world and are Christ-like, so that those who see our love, too, may embrace the spirit of the blind man who was restored and say, I too believe, and let me give glory to God." Let's pray together. Oh God, we bow in your presence as your church right now in worship. Through this modern technology of being united, even through live streams and videos, we feel your presence, many of us, more powerfully in any way than we have in a long time. We're grateful that your church is not a building. Your church is a people that are saved and restored through your grace and your love now and forever. And as we bow now, God, there may be those watching this video who feel that renewal of your presence, not only for the first time in a long time, but maybe for the first time ever. If there are those who've never trusted in your grace, O Lord, would you make yourself so known to them even now that they may know that simply in trusting in you, that they too are your children and you will never leave them nor forsake them. You will journey with us through this pandemic. You will be our strength and shield until we are united again in your church building and our eternal home where your glory never ends. Sustain us through your grace, O Lord. Guide us with your mercy. Love us now and forever. In Christ we pray. Amen. God bless you all. I love you. Thank you for watching. I pray you were inspired. I certainly was. And let's continue to be the church, even in this time of darkness, for we are Christ's light. Amen.